liturgical color for Pentecost, and we'll explain this in several weeks when we do that rubric Sunday where we sort of once every couple of years go through all the different reasons why we do different things in worship. But the church has always used different colors at different seasons to highlight different themes. And the one that gets the short change is red. There are only three times that red is used. It's used at Pentecost, which is today. It's used at Reformation Day, which is the last Sunday of October. And it's used at ordination services, which most lay people don't go to anyway. But why do you think red is symbolic? What is it symbolic of?
Blood.
It isn't used often, but it carries three different meanings. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the flame that descended at Pentecost. And it's the Holy Spirit as well is used as red. So it's anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came again on the church at the Reformation when it found again the clear gospel teaching. And it comes at ordination when people are ordained. So it is here today. And so I'm grateful that you are here on this Pentecost Sunday. A couple announcements. We will be having as we close today, we'll be having a time of silence because tomorrow is truly a sacred day. And I have a handout that each one of you will get when you leave about tomorrow. And I hope you do have a delightful Memorial Day. But before it was Memorial Day, and what I remember as a child, it being called, before it was Memorial Day, you know what tomorrow was called?
Decoration
Day. And it's where you would gather and have a church service in memory of all those who died, gave the greatest sacrifice for our country. And then you would go from that service out to their graves and decorate their days. So it's a wonderful day to remember in the midst of having a good time, which you can do tomorrow. But let's remember the good time we're having is because there were men and women who were willing to pay that price for our freedom. So we just want to have a moment of silence at the end of the service today for all those that passed in combat. Any other announcement? Oh, I have an announcement that was verbally told to me. This Friday at Parkview, you'll be hanging clothes at 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. we'll be hanging clothes at Parkview. Any other announcements? Webb.
Real quick, the Samaritan's Purse boxes. I want to say thank you for continuing to bring stuff in. If I'm being honest, I've been coming, I don't know whether I've been coming and going the last few weeks, I've been so busy, I've been here. And I don't even really remember what we're supposed to start bringing next month. I'll look it up. And I just want to say thank you, and I'm going to try to get back on track.
Well, thank you for your leadership. I know there's been a lot going on in your family and in your life, so there's plenty of time to catch up. So this is the last day for personal care items, and we'll let you know next week what it will be for June. Any other announcements? I saw another hand. Yes, Andrew.
If anyone is interested, there's a Memorial Day concert tomorrow at the Academy Center in Lynchburg Pops. I think it's at 7 o'clock. So tickets are still available if you want to come in.
Lynchburg Pops at the Academy Center tomorrow at 7. Memorial Day celebration. See Andy if you want more information.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning that you would like to lift up? Webb.
To keep Darby in prayers. She had an MRI and they found a CT scan, and they found a lesion on the spot on the left kidney. Gary's taken her to the UVA twice this week, Tuesday for treatment, and then Wednesday for MRI to see what that's probably. Hopefully it's not cancer. We keep talking our prayers and we keep both of them in our prayers and share travels. Like I said, they have a chance for Tuesday and Wednesday.
So let's keep Darby and Carrie in prayers. They travel Tuesday and Wednesday to UVA, and Darby, because of a spot, they identified on our kid names, they try to determine with them. So let's keep Darby Atkins in our prayers. Any other items? Martha?
There are two veterans that I would ask for prayer. One gentleman, I do not know his name, but I think he's probably in his late 80s. He was at the Presbyterian Cemetery on Gray Street, placing flowers on the flag from Friday and fell in between headstones or footstones and bandaged his skin with a bait. And there's another gentleman that was helping with the poppy sale yesterday. And he passed out. And he's in the hospital in May. He's 93 years old. So these are two veterans that I would like to have prayer
for. Let's keep these two veterans that Martha lifted up in prayer and all those veterans that we know that are in the aging process. Thank you, Martha. I saw a hand. Oh, Lisa?
I have two. Pray for Dan this morning. He seemed to have picked up a little stomach bug yesterday and still wasn't 100% today. And that can be very challenging when you're preaching at two different churches. Can't just leave the pulpit and run for the bathroom. Then pray for a friend of mine in the women's club who was having tests done this week, and I haven't heard results back yet, but she was very afraid of the possibility of cancer because she's had several tumors removed in this area, and they weren't sure what was going on.
So let's keep Lisa's husband, Dan, in our prayers because he's not feeling well, but yet preaching today, and a friend of hers who's concerned about possibly having cancer. David?
We have a tragedy on my side of the family. My cousin, Bill Santorvato's son, was murdered in Arizona this week. And they have a suspect in custody, but it's a tragedy for the family. They're all grieving through it all.
What was the name of the young man that died?
I do not know.
Okay. Well, let's keep that family in our prayers. And his dad's first name is what?
Bill.
Let's keep David's cousin Bill, whose son was murdered, in the whole family in our prayers. Certainly lifting up. Anyone else for prayer? Want to keep Robert again in our prayers as Heather will have a hearing this coming week. Let's keep her in our prayers. Anyone else?
I'd like to keep my sister Terry and her husband Forrest in prayer. She was taking her dog to the vet to be put down on Thursday, fell downstairs, broke her ankle, her left ankle, and sprained her left wrist, which makes it hard to get around. And at the same time, her husband has kidney failure and is getting put in a nursing home for some rehab work. So kind of piled up on her last week.
So let's keep Tony's sister Terry and Forrest in our prayers. She fell and he's having health issues. And, you know that old saying, growing old ain't for sissies. It's true, isn't it? It's just a lot of difficulty. So let's keep Terry and Forrest in our prayers. Any others? I want to give a praise as we conclude our time of sharing. Next Monday, a week from Monday, we will be having up in Alexandria at the Virginia Theological Seminary a meeting of the diocese, and there will be four people ordained. And one of those is a member of our congregation, and he completed his work at Liberty Seminary and has been working with our seminary. And Andy Benke will be ordained a week from Monday at Virginia Theological Seminary. So it's open to the public. If you happen to want to drive to Northern Virginia, it's in Old Town Alexandria, which will then bring that we have five ordained people in this congregation. We will have four of us who are ordained and cheese, because then, you know, I don't want to be displaced. But anyway, I celebrate that for Andy, and please keep that in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. We know, as James would tell us, every good gift comes from above and comes without any variation or shadow of turning. Your giftedness to us is faithful and true and constant. And you demonstrated that above all days by that day in which you gave yourself, your eternal spirit. You had given yourself, the second person of the Trinity, incarnate in Jesus Christ. And for that 33-year period, he walked amongst us. But through the gift of your Spirit, you have given yourself to us permanently and eternally. We are your temples. We house the holy. And we stand amazed that sinful and common folk like us would receive your total outpouring of your Spirit in us. And we are so grateful. And may that be our strength, and may it be our only hope in life and in death, that we are not our own, but we have been bought with the price of precious blood, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and inflamed by your presence to be your children. And we thank you for this day. We do lift up all those that have been mentioned. We pray for those that are having physical difficulties. We think of Dan feeling poorly, and we just pray that you'll continue to be with him. We think of Darby and the traveling that she and Carrie will be doing, and the testing, and the friend of Lisa. We all must confess that we just hate this disease we call cancer. And we just, when testing is done, it's hard to keep a positive and a position of faith. And I just pray that your Spirit would encourage those that are going through that testing, in particular Darby and Lisa's friend. We pray that you would be with these veterans that Martha knew that fell. Just encourage and strengthen them. We also pray the same for Terry as she fell. Just keep her pain to a minimum. Be with Forrest as they seek to encourage and strengthen one another. We pray that you'd be with Heather and others that need your protection and your guidance, and at times your correction. We all stand in need of your correction and guidance. We all need to be drawn back to center. And again, we thank you for your Spirit that does just that. And we pray that you would draw close to David's Gardner's cousin's family, be with Bill and all the family. I can't even imagine the tragedy and the horrific thoughts and feelings of being violated and just this tragedy. But you know all things, and you can sympathize with all of our hurts. So draw close to them, we pray. We thank you for this day. We do thank you for those that have served us in this country and have given the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for those that will take a stand. And we thank you for your goodness in coming and, above all, paying the ultimate sacrifice. For we not only enjoy the freedom on earth, but through your sacrifice, we have eternal freedom and access to the Holy Father of the universe. It is in that name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to the front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in that name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the interior, we'll read the first 14 verses of Psalm 25. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 331, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, and let my enemy, and never let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who looks to you be put to shame. Let the lepers be disappointed in their schemes.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember in mind the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides us on humble in doing right, and he teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great.
Who are they who fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose.
They shall dwell in prosperity, and their offspring shall inherit the land.
The Lord is a friend to those who fear him, and will show them his covenant.
My eyes are ever looking to the Lord, for he shall guide my feet out of the net.
Thank you. first reading today is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now, two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all of the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second reading of 44 today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as if fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking them said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. give you thanks both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Judy, thank you for tackling not only long readings, but one with difficult words. And Jen got off light today. I think she ought to give you her salary for the week. Grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always been true about me, and the older I get, the worse it becomes. And that is, I cannot stand crowds and noise. And the older I get, the worse it is. I have already written off a very rapidly growing number of restaurants that I will not go into because it's too crowded and too loud. There are events that I don't want to go to. Someone told me there were a couple races yesterday. I don't want to go to a crowd. I don't want to go. You know, I like people, but I'm like the Texas. I like them 10 at a time. I don't like crowds, and I don't like noise. And, you know, I wouldn't have liked Pentecost, just to be blunt. You know, I love the ministry of R.C. Sproul. I've followed him and contributed and been a part of that ministry for decades. But it's grown. It used to be fun. And this last time, Sherry and I went down to Orlando and got in a line with 6,000 other people. I didn't know whether I wanted to cry or cuss, so I did them both. I just was overwhelmed with the crowd. And I wouldn't, just to be honest, I wouldn't have liked the first Pentecost. This is nice, us wearing red, and this is nice, us celebrating, and you know, you guys are a manageable crowd, and we're all decent and in order, as people should be. But I want to picture what the first Pentecost would have looked like. The first Pentecost, and if you remember, they were there because it was Passover in Jerusalem. The first Pentecost, and I'm taking this from a Jewish historian that you've probably heard of named Josephus, who wrote as a historian during that time. Josephus said there were somewhere between 600,000 to 750,000 people gathered in Jerusalem for this week of Passover. Now, if the people wouldn't have been overwhelming, you know why they were there. They come to Passover and all these people brought all their animals to sacrifice. And Josephus estimated that this number of people, given the Levitical code, and he wrote, and he was a contemporary of this, he said there were roughly 256,000 animals sacrificed that week. Now, if you do the math, that's 36,000 animals sacrificed a day. Now, you talk about noise. I've cut a chicken or a deer in my life, but to think 36,000 animals being sacrificed with a 750,000 people running around. And in the midst of this, God decides to fulfill the prophecy of Joel. The day of waiting had been the 10 days since Jesus' ascension. And in the midst of all this noise and confusion and chaos, the Holy Spirit came and had everyone start speaking in tongues with flames on top of their head and wind blowing all around. I'm glad I read about Pentecost and I wasn't there.
it was dramatic. It was conspicuously obvious. It was extraordinary. The scripture seems to be full of the extraordinary. There always are these miracles. But the truth of the matter, and I'm so grateful, we're going to read another more quiet giving of the Spirit. The truth of the matter is, we do not live in the extraordinary. We may want to. Some of you may find it exciting. Some of you may not be like me. Some of you may like the roar of the crowd and the excitement of people. But if we're not careful with that, we tend to look for it, and when we don't see the miraculous, we get disappointed. I often wonder, when I wouldn't mind a personal presence with God, I often wonder if Moses, who was walking along and God came and spoke to him in a bush that didn't consume. And that was a miraculous time, and I know it must have meant a lot to Moses. And I wonder if Moses spent the rest of his life, every time he saw a bush, if he wondered if God was going to do it again. And the truth is, God never did it again that way. The miraculous is not where we live. The dramatic and seeking the dramatic and the extraordinary is an unhealthy spiritual place to be. You look at the church of Corinth, and their problem was they weren't content with the ordinary. They wanted more and bigger and better and louder and more dramatic. They compared who had the most wonderful gifts. And the truth of the matter is, God doesn't usually work in the extraordinary. The truth of the matter is, God works through the ordinary. The quiet, the simple, the non-assuming. He works through those events in your life that you might be tempted to miss because there's nothing special about them. He uses ordinary words. Have you thought of this elements that we use in communion? Just bread, just wine, grape juice. You think of baptism, it's just water. You think of even the act of preaching. Now, we've tried to make that extraordinary over the years, you know, with skits and screens and all sorts of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, Paul puts it, it's just a simple preaching of the gospel. And I like that because you preach the gospel. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And you use the ordinary to communicate God's love. Turn with me to another reading. In John 7, Jen read where Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. But John also has a giving of the Holy Spirit. And he's a whole lot quieter than Luke. Luke is the one that wrote Acts. And Pentecost was a lot more dramatic. But here's a quieter Pentecost. Turn with me to John 20. And this is probably more akin to how the Holy Spirit comes to you. Begin in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, which, to remind you, were wounded for our sakes. Then the disciples were glad, and when they saw the Lord, they were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is more the way the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And it comes to you today, having received the Spirit at baptism. Not in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary. And I'm going to just look at Jesus' passage here and give three very simple things that the Holy Spirit does. And these are simple. They're ordinary. You're not going to see ecstatic tongues. You're not going to see things that appear as of flames. We're not going to talk about, you know, all this overly top dramatic miraculous events. We're just going to talk about where you live your life and where I live my life and how the Holy Spirit comes. And you notice the first thing that Jesus says in his giving of the Holy Spirit, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Go along your way. I want you to understand that through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not just Moses at the bush who needs to take his shoes off. Figuratively speaking, you ought to be ready to take your shoes off at any moment, because it's always sacred ground. It may be sacred ground when you are standing in Walmart and you can tell that a clerk is having a difficult day. And the Spirit prompts you that you were not just there to buy whatever you're buying, but the Father is sending you to bring comfort at that time. And that's holy ground. It might be with a co-worker. It might be with a family member. It could be with a stranger that picks you up and gives you a ride. It could be with anyone. And what Jesus is saying is, as I walk through embodying and incarnating the Spirit of the eternal Godhead, and I was moved with eyes of compassion, in the same way, I'm sending you to go out. Not to make a big name for yourself and be up in lights and banners, but just go out as I went out and look for hurting people. And when you see hurting people, pray with them. Minister to them. Be Jesus to them. It may not be very fancy, but I suggest that the world needs that more than we need glitter. We need that type of just going out and being Jesus in this world. So the first thing he says, I'm sending you out as you go along your way, the way the Father sent me. The second thing he says, walk in the peace of my presence. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is peace. He is the Spirit of peace. At creation, the Spirit of God hovers on the chaotic water. And when the Spirit of God hovered over the chaotic water, flesh and creation, order came out of it. Now the Holy Spirit descends over the anxieties of our heart and brings peace. I love the first hymn that Mona picked out today. You can go back and look at the wording. But that's exactly what we desire. We don't desire supernatural, extraordinary abilities. I just want my heart to be at peace. I just want to live without anxiety. I want to be able to cast all my cares upon the Lord. I want to be able to live and walk in a peace. We've lived long enough to know that we're not going to be able to arrange our world long enough and carefully enough to get peace from the world, are we? I can't even get my dog to obey. I can much less get all the pieces in the world to come in alignment in a way that I can be peaceful. But that's why Jesus said, I give you a peace that the world's not going to give you. So don't look to the world for your peace, but I'm going to give you my Spirit. And where my Spirit is, there is peace. So we walk in peace. We receive this as we fix our mind upon Jesus. Leo, we call him Leo the Great, lived 400 to about 461. He wrote this. He said, as we live in the peace that the Holy Spirit produces in our hearts, the evidence of our lives no longer looks to the world to find what the world can never give, but we look to the Son who descended from the Father and is with us forever. He is our peace, our only peace, this is enough. And this is enough. So the first thing is, Jesus says, as you receive the Holy Spirit, just go as the Father has sent me. You go along your way. The second thing he says is, walk in the peace of my presence. And the third thing he says is, share the forgiveness you've received with all others. If you look at that last verse, in verse 23, people that like power have used that and misused that through the centuries. We talk about the keys of the kingdom. And us religious, you know, if you're in charge, you like to sort of write the rules in your favor. And through the history of the church, it's gotten twisted that the keys of the kingdom are just given to us religious leaders. And we'll tell you who can and can't be forgiven. Well, the beauty of the Augsburg Confession said, no, that's not true at all. That this is coming unto all. At Pentecost, everyone received the Holy Spirit. And the keys of the kingdom is basically the preaching of the good news. And that's what the Holy Spirit enables you to do, enables me to do, is to share the forgiveness you've received. When Peter and John are walking after the original Pentecost into the temple, there's a lame man wanting money. You remember the scene, don't you? They ask him for money, and Peter and John say to them, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, I'll give unto you. That which he had was Jesus Christ. He said, stand up and walk. So brothers and sisters, in like manner, through the power of the Holy Spirit, our ordinary Pentecost is we're to go through life giving what we have received. What have you received? Have you received anger and condemnation? Have you received judgment? No. So don't give anger and condemnation. Don't give judgment. What have you received? I must confess, what I've received is far more grace than I deserve. May, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we go forth, may we give what we've received. And may, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we see that Pentecostal power of walking as Jesus did, in the peace of the presence of God, giving what we have received of total forgiveness. I believe if we do that in an ordinary way, we truly will be salt and light in our world. Nothing special, just very ordinary to God's glory. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of surprises, your Spirit brooded over the waters at creation and lived among your chosen people in wilderness exile and promised land. Your Spirit filled Mary's womb at the moment of Jesus' conception and came down upon him like a dove at his baptism. When Christ died on the cross, your power raised him from the tomb on the third day, and that same evening he breathed your forgiving grace on those who had deserted him. On the day of Pentecost, you sent your Spirit upon the fearful disciples, filling them with fire, with power, with wonder, and joy, and making them your church. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of comfort and strength, we look to your Holy Spirit to be with us in sorrow and in contentment, in crisis and in abiding stillness. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your image, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of dreams and prophecy, send down upon us your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, of healing, discernment, and interpretation, that your church may be built up in the likeness of your Son. Let anyone who is hungry find in you the bread of life, and anyone who is thirsty find in you rivers of living water. Speak your word to all who are alone and in fear or despair, and let each one of your children hear your voice in their own language, whether that language be art or science, work or play. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One other crowded place I would not be. A friend of mine posted several weeks ago, one of the greatest days of his life, for days he had tried to beg an entrance into some place called Studio 54. And I don't even know where it was, but he obviously stood in line. And you waited till you got to the bouncer or maitre d', and it was totally up to their whim whether or not you would be allowed into that wonderful place. I can tell you that's another place I wouldn't want to be. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that through the power demonstrated and culminated at Pentecost, you're going to line up. And you're going to come forward. And your entrance is not based on the whim. Your entrance is not determined by how good anyone may deem that you are, how beautiful or lovely, how moral or patient. In fact, you can come forward as we pray the Lord's Prayer boldly. And say, "I'm here, and I'm standing, because I'm here through the finished work of Jesus Christ." You'll never be turned away. And the Spirit reminds us, when others would try to turn you away, is that Spirit that fell upon all remained there. and not only fell upon all people, it remained there. Jesus Christ is yours for all eternity. So come, those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in sincerity and truth, and receive that which He has given you, Himself, His very body and blood, our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Jim, this is the body of Christ.
Andrew, this is the body of Christ. It's broken for you.
Gracious Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you that we live and move and have our being in your goodness. We thank you for the life that you have secured for us. And we pray that as we go forth walking, being sent by your Son, that the Spirit that resides within us will lead us in very simple and ordinary ways to point to the goodness of our loving Father, who showers grace upon us all through Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, and then we will have a moment of silence afterward before the benediction. Let us stand and sing. remember. And I'd like us to take a moment before the benediction. I'd also like to ask, would anyone, by a show of hand, if you had a friend or family that is being remembered this Memorial Day because they lost their life in defending our freedoms, would you raise your hand if you had family or friend? Let's remember them for a moment of silence. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace and love to serve our Lord.